What do you think when you think of Thanksgiving? What do you think of? People think of eating. How many ate over these past few days? How many ate too much? Okay. We have the confessionals right out. No, I'm sorry. No, the confessional is right there. There it is. You just, you know, we do that at times, but I'm not sure that was gluttony. It was just a day. Just don't do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Others think about football. How many watch football on Thanksgiving? Not as many people today. How many watched it yesterday? More, yeah. But football kind of comes into it. How about the long weekend? Everybody was thinking, we get a long weekend. All the kids in school were like, yeah, get a long weekend. How many thought about shopping? Black Friday. And all the kids raised their hands. They're into that. Oh, and even Ian. There you go, Ian. How many thought about the history of Thanksgiving? It kind of came to you. You thought, there's a few of you. How many thought about their family getting together? Yeah. All of these things, we kind of contribute to Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving is more than that. True Thanksgiving is not just a day for food and football and family. It's not just a holiday we take every fourth Thursday in November. For God's people, Thanksgiving ought to be every day really ought to be Thanksgiving Day, right? You agree? In fact, today I'm going to talk about moving from Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving. I don't want to just give thanks because giving thanks has an end to it. I did it. I accomplished it. How many had Thanksgiving? We did it. But what about Thanksgiving? See, it doesn't have an end to it. It doesn't have a conclusion to it. It continues. Thanksgiving is not something new. It's not something that started with the American culture. So many of us think, well, Thanksgiving is because of the pilgrims and all of this. Thanksgiving came from people who lived thankfully 4,000 and 5,000 years ago, who knew how to give thanks because there was one to whom thanks belonged. Who is that? To Jesus, to God. In the Old Testament, we find a song of thanksgiving. And I think it can encourage us today. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. It's subtitled A Psalm of Thanksgiving. Or some translations, NIV says, a psalm for giving grateful praise. This song is an invitation to us as believers and to anyone who would put their trust in God to join together to acknowledge the great things that God has done. But not only does Psalm 100 call us to praise the Lord, I believe it describes to us the nature of thanksgiving. I want us to read it together today. We're going to read together on the screens out of the New King James Version. I want us to read it together. I want you to read it with enthusiasm. And I had to work with the first crowd to kind of work up that enthusiasm. I'm not going to have to do that with you, right? How many love Scripture? How many believe it's powerful for you? How many think we ought to speak Scripture? Well, this is your opportunity. So all together, I want us to read Psalm 100. I want to even begin with the subtitle because in Scripture, so many times we don't realize. Have you ever read in the Psalms it says a masculine of David or it says all of these things? Well, that's actually in the written Scripture. Those are instructions. Those were subtitles or things that were given. This is a subtitle that was given long time ago to this particular song. So let's read it together. Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that we as a generation sit here today. Lord, because this song lives, not just back then, but it lives today. And Lord, I'm thankful for your word that teaches, instructs us, rebukes us, and corrects us. Lord, correct our living today, that it may go from just thanksgiving to thanks living. In Jesus' name, amen. In this psalm, I find five words I think that help describe the essence of thanks living. The first word is this, joy. Psalm 100, verse 1 says what? Make a... Boy, I heard it so powerfully in this place. What? Make a... Make a joyful shout to the Lord. You know, it's amazing. We don't have problems shouting at some football game or some other game. In fact, when the ref makes a bad call, we don't have a problem at all shouting at the ref. But sometimes we get in church and we get a little bit reserved. We just get a little bit timid because I don't want someone to think I'm a fanatic for Jesus. I'm telling you, I wish people thought I was more of a fanatic for Jesus. I know in our worship we clap our hands at times, we raise our voices, and there's times we feel it's extremely powerful, and it is. But do you realize that even if we worshiped with more extravagance, if we worshiped with more praise, it would never be enough? How much praise is he worthy of? Can you be too joyful to go to the Lord? It's amazing, though, that we sit here and, oh, God, I am thankful, but we wonder sometimes. We have forgotten that the Scripture says you need to give a joyful shout to the Lord. Our lives were not meant for a moment of praise. It was meant for a lifetime of praise. Our lives are meant to be a joyful call to the Lord. I joyfully call upon the Lord. God wants us to be excited about who He is and what He's done in our lives. When I think about history and I think about the celebrations that have happened, and I began yesterday to think of one called World War II. At the end of World War II, people would get into the streets and they begin to shout. They couldn't help but want to tell the good news. The war is over. Victory is ours. Do you realize that we, like them, also have a shout? Listen, I've read the end of the book. I know you've heard that before. But church, have you forgotten what the end of the book tells us? Who has all the victory, all the praise, all the glory? Who is going to win? You're still not awake. We're talking about joy, and you're on Jesus. Church, it's either true, it's either all true, let me put it that way, or every bit of this is a lie. How much of it are you going to get excited about if you believe it to be true? How much joy should you live with? Church, He is going to win. There is no doubt, no question. You say, well, boy, it just seems like the devil's winning a lot today. He's only winning in your life. God has conquered everything. Last week we heard about freedom. Are we really free for what He's done in our lives? Church, we have reason to be joyful because God will and has won the victory. We need to be filled with a shout of joy because we are living for God. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Not just a voice of a victory, of a battle, but the triumph, the whole. He's won it all. So we need to live with joy. There's another word that's in the second verse, and the word is gladness. Psalm 100, verse 2. serve the Lord with, and come before his presence with singing. Folks, let me tell you, there's a huge difference between gladness and sadness. How many have been driving along the road and you look, you just happen to glance over to the car that's beside you, and it's always awkward to look that person in the face, right? But you've seen them over there, and you would just look at them and say, well, I wish, boy, if they just knew joy. My question is, have you looked in the mirror lately yourself? We drive along and we just get so wrapped up that gladness, I think, sometimes leaves our lives. And we're to be full of this gladness. We are serving the Lord. I tell you the truth, we ought to come in here on Sunday morning, and we ought to come in here like it's a resurrection service. Have we forgotten the reason that we gather on the first day of the week? Because it was on the first day of the week that they came to that tomb and the stone had been rolled away. It was resurrection day. So the church started meeting on the first day of every week, gathering together to remember that Christ has risen from the dead. They were glad about it. I wonder, are we as glad today? I want you to know that my Christ has risen from the dead, and I'm glad about it. In fact, there's a song that says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how. I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. When we come before the Lord, we need to do it with gladness. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't know that my children always feel that way. I don't even know if you felt that way today. Were you glad when you begin to think about, I'm going to the house of the Lord. I'm going to be with fellow believers. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to be strengthened in the word. We're going to walk out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you come with that kind of gladness? I'm here to serve you, Lord. But church, I've watched us. And so much of the church has changed that we come to be served. And we're sad when we don't get what we thought we were going to get. I thought the scripture said, I serve him with gladness. So church, I was glad this morning when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Gladness needs to be a part of our life. There's a third word. I want to use the word dependence this morning to help capture this thought. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. This verse shows three roles of God and why we need to live thankfully. First of all, God is Lord. Did you know he is ruler? He is master? He is your boss. I know you don't like that term because boss seems to have a negative term. It's not a negative term because our boss, Jesus Christ, is watching over us, taking good care of us. He's the boss. God is Lord. God replied to Moses in Exodus 3:14. He said, I am who I am. Just get it. Say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Listen, you have no more control over God than you do the weather, church. God is God and we are not. And you need to know that. Know that he is Lord. Secondly, God is creator, we find out in this verse. Did you know if you create something, that you are greater than what you created because you created it, and then you have every right over it. Psalm 100 verse 3 in the second part says, it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. But the world has flipped this and said, I'm making something out of myself. The army says, be all you can be. I'm not against the slogans, but for church, I'm telling you, it is God who made me. God is my creator, and He has direct control over His creation. And I'm glad about it. I'm glad that He is who He says He is. Also, God is my shepherd. In Psalm 100, the last part of verse 3, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God guides us to a place of security, to a place of plenty, to a place of rest. Do you remember Psalm 23? In the NLT, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to His name. Someone said, if we are created, then He's the creator. If we are sheep, then He's the shepherd. If we enter His courts, then He is king. If we serve Him, He is master. Church, we are dependent on God. He created the air that you breathe right now. He knows every hair or hair you don't have on your head. I would even go far to say God even knows the hair in your ear. God knows everything. God knows it all. He is God. He created all these things, and I thank Him for being God. I am dependent on Him. A fourth word this morning is thankfulness. Do you know you can't give thanks unless you're thankful? That's why a lot of people don't know how to give thanks. They don't realize who or what has accomplished in their life. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise and be thankful to Him and bless His name. Thanksgiving is what flows out of a thankful heart. In Luke chapter 17, there is an interesting story. Jesus enters a village, and upon entering the village, he finds that there are 10 lepers that are standing off. And as they're standing a long ways away, they yell out to Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us. The Bible tells us that when Jesus saw them, He said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Did you know, though, they left and they hadn't been cleansed yet? They hadn't been cured? They left before they were cured because the Bible tells us this, that as they went along, they were cleansed. But do you know what happened? One of them, and only one of them, when all of a sudden he noticed, I'm healed, he turned around and he went back and he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus. And he began to glorify and thank Jesus for what He had done. Only one out of the 10 lived out his thankfulness. He went back and he thanked Jesus. Do you remember, though, what Jesus asked him? He said, were there not 10 of you? Where are the other 9? Church, God has done so many things for us. And I wonder, have we forgotten along the way who's done it for us? Have we thought along the way it might have been my hand? It may have been my fault. It was my creativity. When all along it was Jesus. And church, we need to be thankful. We need to go back and thank God for what He's done. It brings me to our fifth word and last word for the day. And the word is gratitude. Psalm 100 verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. We have three reasons for being grateful today. The first one is, the Lord is good. The reason this is so important, and we were talking a little bit about it yesterday with some family members, but there are other people who have gods in their religions. But you never need to make the mistake that their God is equal to our God. The Muslim community will talk about Allah, but you need to realize that Allah is not the same God that we talk about. They say, well, he's the God of Abraham. In their view, he is not the same God because their God is about retribution. Our God is about relationship. Our God is good. Every other religion, you'll find that their gods are trying to tell them, you have to do this, you have to accomplish this. Our God comes along and says, I've done everything for you. I'm good. Our God has done so much. He is so great. And yet, sometimes, because we get confused, because we mess our doctrine up, and we begin to think maybe gods are equal, I'm telling you, there is no one that compares to God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, who spoke everything into existence, who sent his only Son to die on a cross for us. And he hung there with his arms wide open, saying, I love you. I am dying for all men, for all sin, for all time. There is no one. The Lord is good. The Lord's mercy. The Lord's mercy. The Lord's mercy. His mercy. His mercy is everlasting. There's so many people get wrapped up in the thought of, well, maybe his mercy is good and it lasts for a certain amount of time and then it runs out. God's mercy, when he speaks mercy and grace to your life, he speaks it for an eternity. He's good and his mercy is everlasting, and the Lord's truth endures how long? I want you to know the truth of the Word of God is not something that just is going to conclude and say, well, it's not truth anymore. In fact, it tells us that everything else will fade, but His Word will stand forever. Church, I don't know if you realize all the prophecies. And we're coming into a season that all the prophecies of the Old Testament all referred to this little baby that we're going to be worshiping and talking about this season, because it was about Christ, the Messiah, is coming. And all these prophecies were fulfilled in this little baby born in a manger. His word is true. And if his word is true, does it not make sense that everything he said in Revelations is also true? That he's, in Thessalonians, we are taught that he's coming back and he's going to rapture or take away his church, those who are without spot or wrinkle. It's true. So church, we need to realize the Lord's truth. Everybody else's truth, it is relative. But God's truth is absolute. When he said it, it's going to take place. His truth endures forever. In Romans chapter 11, Paul is giving praise and thanks. And in chapter 11, verse 36, listen to what he says. And the Message puts it this way. Everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory, always praise. Yes, yes, yes. Our praise and our thanks living, our worship, always has to be directed to God. We need to be thankful for what he's done. This morning, I want you to notice something about Psalm 100. In these short 5 verses, I want you to look at how many times God is mentioned or God is referred to in it again. Are you ready? Let's look at it again. In verse 1, make a joyful shout to the all ye lands. It goes on, serve the with gladness. Come before presence with singing. Know that the He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And be thankful to and bless His name. For the Lord is good. What? His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Church, when we begin to sing about the Lord, it's about Him. It's not about you. I know so many times when we sat down for Thanksgiving, I don't know how many of you did or didn't, but listen to me for a moment. I know we probably sat there and we said, God, I want to thank you for, you know, my food. But it was my food. God, I want to thank you for my family. God, I want to thank you for my. But church, true thanksgiving moves it from just the moment to about Him. Because my thanks is not about my food, but wait a minute. God, you are the one who made me. God, you were the one who gave me strength to be able to work. God, it was you who gave me a job. Lord, it was you who gave the provision. God, it was you who gave me the vehicle to be able to get to the store. It was you who gave me the strength to walk around that store and be able to pick up items. Lord, it was you who was able to help me cook those things. It was you. Was it my? See, thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving is good. And we need to give thanks. But what if you begin to live thanks? You would begin to get your focus on Him. For He is good. I will enter His courts. I will give thanks to Him. I will bless His name. And don't feel condemned if maybe you didn't do Thanksgiving like maybe you think you should have now. Because you've got the opportunity not to go back and repeat Thursday, but to live it today and tomorrow and the next day. It wasn't about Thursday. It was about today. It's about what are you going to choose tomorrow when you wake up and you say, oh, work. You know what I say? And please forgive me if I don't mean this to be offensive in any way. But church, when you're going to work and I think about it, I'm like, God, I'm so glad they got a job. Because God, in their job, they're going to earn money and they're going to be able to come to the church. And we're going to be able to do ministry together for you. It's not that I think about money. I think about God. But I think about what He does through our lives. It's God. So tomorrow, when you think about work, it's okay to be glad and joyful and shout about it. Chris, tomorrow, before you run off to work, your kids and your wife see you going through the house. Oh, I'm glad I get to go to work. I'm glad I get to bring home money and you get to go spend it. Is that not what's going to happen anyway, Chris? So serve tomorrow with gladness. Be joyful. And then don't forget to give thanks for the one who gave you strength. Frank, you sit here. Frank, I look at you and man, I am so thankful. Frank has had a tough year. His boy was diagnosed with leukemia. Praise God. We're moving on the other side of that. All the remission seems to be there. And we give thanks to the Lord. But Frank lost his job on a Friday and finds out his boy has leukemia on a Monday. How do you handle that one? Except Frank calls the church. That was where our relationship, we kind of knew each other, but that's where our relationship began to grow even greater. And I said, all I know to do is let's pray. And there was a few jobs here and there, but the Lord had His timings. Were all perfect, Frank. Every one of them. And even when you didn't have a job, you learned to be thankful because that was the moment that God had for you. Church, even if you don't have a job, why don't you do like Chris is going to do tomorrow and get up. I can't wait to hear the testimony of this. And say, God, I'm glad I don't have a job today because You have something for me. And quit worrying about whether it looks good or bad. The Lord is good. Your eyes will deceive you, but faith is not guided by the eyes. Faith is guided by not what is not seen, what you hope for. And I've been talking about false hope. I'm talking about hope in the Lord. So church, I want to move from just my giving of thanks. I want to live it. I want to be so incredibly thankful. Yes, Jesse, just a minute. We can do that in just a moment. It's the key of F, if you want to say it there. But, so church, here's my biggest challenge as a pastor. I get up here and I walk around, I wave my hands, I read scripture. But the problem is I can't go live with you. I have my own family and we have our own issues. Right? Anybody want to share with me? I'm more than happy. Well, I am incredibly blessed too. So church, I can't go with you tomorrow. I'll pray for you. I'll think of you as a whole. Some the Lord will bring to my heart. And I lift you before the Lord. But church, I want you, you've got to take hold of this. This simple little psalm that probably, how many have ever heard this psalm before? Psalm 100. Come on, raise your hand if you've ever heard this song before, right? We've heard it. But now it's time to apply it. Everybody says, what am I supposed to do with church stuff? Apply it. All right. I'm going to shout to God for joy. I'm going to do it with joy. Church, people are looking for people with real joy. Real joy. You're going to bump into people for the next 20 days as you shop or whatever, and you're going to find the opposite of joy. It will be there. But they're looking for you. They're looking for Christ. They're looking for that Christmas. And it's in you, that joy. This week you get to serve. Wow. Isn't that great? Yeah, I was served with gladness. Do you remember that? Come on, church. Depend on God. Give thanks. And have gratitude. He's all you need. He's all you need. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Maybe this morning you don't know joy. You don't know life because joy is in the Lord. Maybe you want to have thanks living, but you really don't have life in Him. So therefore, you get a little bit confused by it all. The Bible says that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you confess Him as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And then it says He gives you life. This morning, I want to ask in this place, if there's anyone who wants to surrender their heart to the Lord, maybe it's the first time, maybe it's a rededication today, but you want life so you can live thankful. Would you just lift your hand right now on the balcony, the main floor, put it up and right back down again? Is there anyone? Just rededicate, maybe a first time. I want life in Christ. Is there anyone? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. But Lord, tomorrow I want to live thankful. Lord, I want the joy of the Lord. I want the gladness to consume me. God, I want to make sure I'm always dependent upon you because you made me. Lord, I also want to be thankful because, Lord, I got a lot to be thankful for. It doesn't take me long to begin to think about them. And Lord, may I live with an attitude of gratitude for what I do have. Because, Lord, we get so trapped in our culture about what we don't have. But, Lord, I am grateful. For, Lord, you've given me what I need. And I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.